Welcome to the Intro Biology Podcast. Today we'll be discussing passive, active, and bulk transport. So since we're describing the movement of molecules, first we'll discuss diffusion. Diffusion is the random movement of particles. And in the presence of a chemical or an electrical gradient, the net movement is from the more concentrated region to the less concentrated region. Or another way of saying this is that particles will move down their concentration gradient, whether that's a chemical gradient, an electrical gradient, or both. Passive transport is the diffusion of a substance across a biological membrane with no expenditure of energy, usually due to the fact that particles are moving down their concentration gradients. One type of movement of particles that's very important in biology is the movement of water molecules. Osmosis is the diffusion of free water molecules across a selectively permeable membrane, like the plasma membrane. And when discussing the movement of water molecules, we often consider it in relation to the concentration of solutes outside and inside of a cell. And here we'll describe a few terms that describe differences in concentration in those two compartments. The word tonicity describes the ability of a solution surrounding a cell to cause that cell to gain or lose water, which again depends on the concentration of solutes. The word isotonic describes a solution that causes no net movement of water, and this is because there's the same concentration of solutes outside and inside the cell. And again, this is no net movement. There are still particles moving across the membrane, but the number of particles going in is equal to and opposite of the rate of particles moving out of the cell. The word hypertonic refers to a solution that causes a cell to lose water, and this is because there's a higher concentration of solutes in the solution relative to the cell. And the word hypotonic describes a solution that causes a cell to gain water because there is a lower concentration of solutes in the solution than in the cell. And again, these three terms, isotonic, hypertonic, and hypotonic, describe the solution relative to the cell. So a hypertonic solution has more solute or higher solute concentration than the cell, and a hypotonic solution has less solute concentration in the solution relative to the cell. And here, it's the movement of water molecules that's causing water to flow into and out of the cell. Water, we say, is flowing down its concentration gradient. And this seems maybe of a bit of an abstract concept, but you can think about when there's a high concentration of solute, there's a lower concentration of water. If there's more solute particles in the solution, there's theoretically less water. So water is flowing down its concentration gradient when it flows to higher solute concentrations. That's why in a hypertonic solution, where there's a higher concentration of solutes outside the cell, water flows from inside the cell to outside the cell, flowing down its concentration gradient, if you will. Now, these different types of solutions, isotonic, hypertonic, and hypotonic, and the movement of water that results from them, causes changes to occur inside of those cells. And we can consider this for both animal cells and plant cells being different because they possess a cell wall. So for example, just considering animal cells, when you place an animal cell in a hypotonic solution, that is a solution that has a lower solute concentration than the inside of the cell does, water is going to flow into the cell from low concentration of solute to high concentration of solute, and that is going to actually cause the cell to lyse if the difference in concentrations is great enough. If enough water flows in, the cell will burst or lyse. In an isotonic solution, where the concentration of solutes is the same outside and inside the cell, water will flow in and out at the same rate, so there's no change in the volume of the cell due to water. In a hypertonic solution, where the solution has a higher concentration of solutes, water is going to flow out of the cell, and it's going to cause that cell to shrivel. Plant cells have a slightly different response to water because they possess that cell wall. If a plant cell is placed in a hypotonic solution where the concentration of solutes outside the cell is lower than it is inside the cell, water is going to flow into the cell. And what this causes is the plasma membrane to expand, just like an animal cell would before it lysed, but that plasma membrane expansion is going to push against the cell wall and make that cell turgid, which is actually the normal desired state for a plant cell. When you water plants and water flows into the plant cells, those plant cells expand against the cell wall and causes it to be turgid or more rigid than it would be without it. In an isotonic solution, water flows in and out the same, but this is actually not ideal for a plant cell because they want to be in that turgid state. So if they're just in an isotonic solution, we would call this a flaccid state. And then if you placed a plant cell into a hypertonic solution where water is going to flow out of the cell into the solution, now the plasma membrane actually shrinks away from the cell wall, and we call this plasmolyzed. Again, not an ideal state for a plant cell to be in. So the ideal state for an animal cell is isotonic, water flowing in and out to keep the cell maintaining its volume. And for plant cells, it's actually desirable to be in a hypotonic solution where water is constantly flowing into the cell so that they press against their cell walls and stay in that turgid state. The word osmoregulation refers to the regulation of solute concentrations and water balance by a cell or an organism. So cells have the ability to control the movement of water and solutes in and out of them, which can in turn influence their metabolic activity, their volume and their size, and different parameters like that. One way that cells do this is some cells possess what's called a contractile vacuole that helps take in or release water so that the cell can change its shape and structure. Going back just one moment to what we talked about plant cells and the ability of water to flow in and change the pressure in that system, some more terms to describe this are turgor pressure, which is the pushing of the plasma membrane against the cell wall. If the turgor pressure puts it into a turgid state, we would say that it's a very firm cell. It's pushing against the cell wall and has a lot of tension there. The flaccid state is when the cell is limp because the plasma membrane is not pushing up against the cell wall, so it's a little bit more loose. And then plasmolysis is that term for when the plasma membrane shrinks away from the cell wall and causes the cell to shrivel inside of the cell wall. Now looking more broadly at the movement of molecules away from just water, now we'll discuss facilitated diffusion. Facilitated diffusion is the passage of molecules or ions down their electrochemical gradient across a biological membrane with the assistance of specific transmembrane proteins. And what's important here is that in facilitated diffusion, this is a type of passive transport, so it does not require energy. These molecules are moving down their concentration gradients as they normally would, so you don't need to expend energy to do that. One of the types of proteins that participates in facilitated diffusion is called a channel protein, and this is simply a corridor that allows passage of molecules across the membrane. They're called channel proteins because they do not need to change their shape to facilitate this movement. They're simply a pore or a hole or an opening in the protein across the cell membrane that allows molecules to move in and out. One type of channel protein is called an ion channel that allows ions to flow in and out of the cell down their concentration gradients. Another type is called a gated channel, which doesn't change its shape, but it does have an open and a closed configuration, if you will, in response to a stimulus. So under certain conditions, it'll be closed, and then under other conditions, it will be open. One common example of this is channels that are in neurons during the transmission of an action potential. Certain channels will be open and closed at different times during that action potential. Another type of protein that participates in facilitated diffusion is called a carrier protein. And unlike channel proteins, carrier proteins require a change in shape to facilitate the movement of particles across the membrane. So you can think of them as like opening and then changing their shape to release that particle on the other side of the plasma membrane from which it came. So now let's move into active transport. This is, again, still is the movement of a substance across the cell membrane, but now, since it's active transport, we're moving it against its concentration gradient, and it's going to require some energy, usually in the form of ATP. This is facilitated by carrier proteins, not channel proteins, because if the channel was ever just open, things would flow as they normally would, which is down their concentration gradient. Since in active transport, you want to move things against their gradient, you have to have some sort of configuration that allows you to only move in one direction at a time, which would be a carrier protein. One common example of a carrier protein that participates in active transport is the sodium-potassium pump. This is a transport protein in the plasma membrane of animal cells that transports sodium out of the cell and potassium into the cell. Normally, those ions would move in the opposite direction, but this carrier protein, with the addition of some energy from ATP, can move 3 sodium ions out of the cell and 2 potassium ions into the cell per cycle of that protein. Since we're moving ions, we're moving particles that have charge, and this is going to cause some changes to the cell. All cells have voltages across their plasma membranes. That is, there's electrical potential energy in the form of a separation of charges. If you have positive charges separated from negative charges, you now have electrical potential energy, or we would say a voltage in this case. The membrane potential is the difference in electrical charge, or the voltage, across a cell's plasma membrane due to a differential distribution of ions. Normally, most cells have a negative charge relative to the outside of the cell. So inside of the cell usually has more negatively charged ions, meaning that the inside of the cell would have a negative voltage. Usually we'd say it's negative 50 to negative 200 millivolts. And again, when we say it has a voltage of those numbers, it's the inside of the cell relative to the outside of the cell. Since we are now discussing both the movement of particles and particles with a charge, we're now discussing both electrical gradients and chemical gradients. Put those together, you get an electrochemical gradient. And this is the diffusion gradient of an ion, which is affected by both the concentration difference of the ion across a membrane, which is a chemical force, and the ion's tendency to move relative to the membrane potential, which is an electrical force. Sometimes they're aligned. Sometimes the concentration gradient moves into the cell and the electrical gradient moves into the cell, but it's not always the case that they move together. Sometimes they're in opposite directions, and it's the magnitude of one relative to the other that will determine how something is going to move. So again, ions not only move according to their concentration gradients, they also flow according to their electrical gradients. A positively charged ion will be attracted towards the normal negatively charged state of the cell, and vice versa. A negatively charged ion will be repelled by the negative charge of the cell under normal conditions and attracted to the more positive charge outside of the cell. As we said, the normal membrane potential of a cell is usually negative inside of the cell relative to outside the cell, between negative 50 and negative 200 millivolts. And there are proteins in the plasma membrane that help maintain this membrane potential, and we call these electrogenic pumps. They generate an electrical potential. And so this is a form of active transport protein that generates a voltage across the membrane while pumping ions. One of the examples is the sodium-potassium pump that we already mentioned. If you pump 3 sodium ions out, which are positively charged, and take in 2 potassium ions, which are also positively charged, that means you're moving more positive charges out than you're bringing in, which would make the inside of the cell more negative and the outside of the cell more positive. So this contributes to that gradient. Another example of an active transport protein that contributes to this electrical gradient is a proton pump. Proton pumps pump hydrogen ions out of the cell, and if you're moving positives out and not bringing any in, you're also making the outside of the cell more positive and the inside of the cell more negative, which contributes to that membrane potential. Another type of transport to discuss is called co-transport. This is the coupling of the downhill diffusion of one substance to the uphill transport of another against its concentration gradient. Or another way of saying this is that you can take the advantage of one downhill gradient to drive an uphill gradient. So something can flow down its concentration gradient, and the quote-unquote energy that is released by the flow of something down its concentration gradient can drive the movement of another particle against its gradient. One example of this is the proton-sucrose co-transporter. Remember, the proton pump that we just discussed is pumping protons out of the cell, so you're going to have more protons outside than inside. Those are going to want to flow back into the cell, down there, both chemical and electrical gradient. So you can use the energy, if you will, the favorability, I should say, of that flow of protons into the cell to also bring sucrose molecules into the cell, but those are flowing against their concentration gradient. Another example of this is the glucose transporter. Remember that the sodium-potassium transporter moves sodium ions out of the cell, so their concentration gradient now is to want to flow back into the cell. The glucose transporter can take glucose and allow it to flow against its concentration gradient into the cell when it is accompanied by the flow of sodium ions also into the cell at the same time. This is part of what allows glucose from our diets to be absorbed into our bodies. When, for example, glucose is in the stomach, it can flow into the cells that line the stomach when it flows through these glucose transporters that move the glucose from low concentration in the stomach to a higher concentration in the cells that line the stomach when it's accompanied by the flow of sodium ions into those cells down their concentration and electrical gradients. The final thing we'll discuss here is the movement of large numbers of particles. The transport we've discussed so far is usually the movement of a few particles at a time. Now we'll describe the movement of lots of particles, which is called bulk transport. When we move particles out of the cell, we're doing exocytosis. This is the cellular secretion of biological molecules by the fusion of vesicles containing them with the plasma membrane. So vesicles are sort of spherical membrane-bound compartments inside of the cell that contain particles. When that vesicle fuses with the plasma membrane, that is when the plasma membrane of the vesicle combines with the plasma membrane of the cell, the particles inside the vesicle are now released outside of the cell. Some examples of this happening in biology are the secretion of insulin by pancreas cells. Those are released by exocytosis, as are neurotransmitters that are released by neurons, or even how plants make their cell wall is they exocytose the components of the cell wall outside the cell where it is eventually configured. That's describing the release of material outside of the cell. The opposite direction, taking particles into the cell, is called endocytosis. This is the cellular uptake of biological molecules and particulate matter via the formation of vesicles from the plasma membrane. So in exocytosis, where a vesicle fuses with the plasma membrane, here the plasma membrane sort of buds off and takes in the particles, forming now a vesicle inside of the cell. A few different types of endocytosis. One is phagocytosis, which is sort of cellular eating. It's taking in really large molecules or even small cells from certain types of endocytosing cells. Another one is pinocytosis, which is kind of like cellular drinking. It's a little bit of material that's taken in at a time. And receptor-mediated endocytosis is when only specific molecules are brought into the cell because they bind receptors on the surface of the cell that are then taken in, forming vesicles inside of the cell. To summarize what we've discussed in this episode, molecules tend to move down their electrochemical gradients, so both their concentration gradients and their electrical gradients. In biological systems, water moves in and out of cells to balance solute concentrations with the surrounding solution, and that movement of water molecules is called osmosis. Some proteins allow passage without changing their shape, those are channel proteins, while others change their shape to facilitate passage, and those were carrier proteins. Some channels open or close in response to stimuli, and those are called gated channels. Passive transport does not require energy, but may still require proteins, and active transport requires energy and proteins, usually in the form of ATP. One type of transporter we talked about is the sodium potassium pump that moves three sodium ions out of the cell and brings two potassium ions into the cell. The membrane potential results from the separation of oppositely charged ions across the membrane. The normal, or sometimes called resting, membrane potential is negative inside of the cell relative to outside of the cell. Molecules and/or ions can move down their chemical gradients, and for ions that are charged, they can also move down their electrical gradients. And you can leverage one gradient to move another type of molecule into or out of the cell against its gradient. Exocytosis moves material out of the cell, and endocytosis moves material into the cell.